Amen. If we'd open our Bibles this evening to Hebrews chapter 13, and I'm just going to take a short message on the Alpha and Omega. If we turn to Hebrews chapter 13, and I'd like to read from verse 7 and 8. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. For Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Therefore, be not carried about with diverse, which means many different and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have occupied therein. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. To gracious Father, we approach thy word solemnly and humbly, knowing that Jesus, your Son, said, "My words are spirit and they are life." And believing that he himself, it wasn't his words, because he said, "They're not my words, they're the Father's that gave them to me." And so believing then that this was in that duality speaking, it was actually your words which are spirit and they are life, for you are the word. And Father, as we sing that song, "Jesus is here," we know that it's not your Son that's here, but it is you, the Holy Spirit, the very God of the Son, who have come down in this hour. And it is you who are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we're thankful that you do not change. We're thankful, Lord, that you are the same. For when we see that you acted in a certain way according to a certain means or a certain, just in a certain way as in response to a certain situation, and when we see that same situation in this hour, we know that you lack the same. Knowing that you are the same, you change not. And so, Lord, we commit ourselves to the great process you have going on, and we know that it's to change our hearts, to change our minds, it's to get us ready for the going home. And so we just submit ourselves to that great process in Jesus' name, thy beloved Son. Amen. You may be seated. Now, we read from the verse as very popular in this message, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever." And when the majority of the people in this message read that verse, they think of the Son. They think of that picture right there, or that picture there, or that one there. And they think of that one's the one who's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And yet, we found in our study of the Godhead that Jesus changed. The Bible said he increased in stature. He increased in favor with God, and he increased in favor with man. He increased in wisdom and knowledge of God. And so we see that if he can increase in knowledge, if he can change, in fact, he said, "Father, restore to me the glory that I had." So he had lost his glory, or given it away. He had stepped aside from it. Therefore, he asked the Father to restore it. So we see that he changed. He changed from a young man to a fully grown man who was completely submissive to his Father's will. But we see he went through a changing process, and the Bible tells us that he became, or he was made both Lord and Christ, so he wasn't Lord and Christ until he was made that way. And somebody had to make him that way, and I believe the same one who made him that way was the same one who raised him up from the dead. So we see then that the Jesus Christ that's the same yesterday, today, and forever is not the Son, but it's the Father of the Son. And it is the Father who indwelt that Son. We find in the Old Testament, the very same words were spoken in Malachi chapter 3. And so if you turn with me to the book of Malachi, and chapter 3, in verse 6 we read, "For I am the Lord, and I change not. Therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." So notice then, God himself is the one who lays claim to being not able to change. In fact, I believe it was Paul in 2 Timothy that said that he's the only immortal, invisible, the only wise God. And so we realize then that this one who is the only wise God, there is no other gods before me. He said, I am the Lord thy God, thou shalt not have any other gods before me. Therefore, we do not believe in a Trinity. We do not believe that there are other gods making up the Godhead, but we believe that there's one God. And we believe he had a son, and Brother Brown said the son couldn't be his own father, so they had to be two different people. And yet, we saw how Paul brought them together and said, of two made he one man. So we see, and he said, now notice, not just made a man, but he made a new man. A new man. A new type of man. A God-man. And we know that Jesus was the first of the creation of God. Not that he was a created being, but God created the body, the blood, the egg and sperm, placed it in the womb of Mary, and then when God entered into that, bringing the two together to make one new man, we recognize then that we have a promise for the same for us. Because Brother Branham said, as Jesus came, so must we come. So we're looking then at the fact that God doesn't change. Now, if you turn with me to Revelation chapter 1, and reading from verse 8, we read, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, notice, the Almighty. So this is the Almighty that's the same yesterday, and today, and forever, because he says, which was, which is to come, which is today, which is yesterday, and which is to come, which is tomorrow. See? And then he tells them who he is. The Almighty. That's Elohim. Now, Revelation chapter 21, verse 6, we read the same words. And he said unto me, it is done, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my, what does it say there, Dwayne? Son. So this is God speaking because he says, I will be his God, and yet he's the same one who says, I am Alpha and Omega. You see? And he says that this one will be my son. All right? So we find then that the one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever is the Father. Because if the other who would believe on him, notice, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, so this is God speaking, and he shall be my son, meaning that this God is also a father. Correct? Very good. All right, now the Bible doctrine that deals with the Alpha and Omega principle is purely the most important revelation that we can receive from God. In fact, in the following quote that I'm going to read, Brother Branham made several points which I'd like to consider. Number one, he says that the Alpha and Omega principle, he says that it is the greatest of all revelations. The greatest of all revelations. And what is the word revelation? It's faith, right? And there's only one faith. Therefore, what is that faith? In the one Lord. And then, what is that faith? It's a revelation of who that one Lord is. He's a dual being. So he says, it is the greatest of all revelations because it teaches us the supreme deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, he said, it is the first thing that you have to know because it concerns the supreme deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I am Alpha and Omega, the first of all revelations. You must know who he is so that you might recognize his voice when you hear it. And number three, point number three, he said, I am the beginning and the end. I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. Therefore, what he did at the first, he must do at the last, for he cannot change. And I'd like to read that quote for you, and I want you to pick up all three of those points, if you would. Notice he says, in the spirit of the Lord's day, he's reading from Revelation, see? In fact, I believe that's Revelation chapter 1. If I go back to it. And John says that I was in the spirit in the Lord's day. Verse 10? Okay, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest, write in the book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice. Now, how do you see a voice? I turned to see the voice that spake. And when I turned to see the voice that spake, Notice what he sees. He says, and in the midst, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. He saw light. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. Now, he didn't say this was the Son of Man. He said, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment, down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as flames of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, which is judgment, as if they burn in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and we know that's the word, Hebrews chapter 4. And his countenance was as the sun that shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and death. Now, I'd like to ask a question. Okay, if this is the Father, then, how was it that he was the one that was dead? Can God die? But the Son could die. Now, notice then, God had to leave the Son in order for the Son to die. Is that not what Brother Branham told us? Then this one who was like unto the Son of Man, who is the first and the last, he's the Alpha and the Omega, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's God speaking through a being of some sort, whether it's theophany or whatever vessel he chose to speak through at this point. But the thing he's letting us know that he is the first and last. Now, the very fact that how could God die? God can't die. So then we must be looking at a dual being talking here. That's all I can see. Alright, you've got the Alpha and Omega inhabiting the one who was born, crucified, died, and was risen again. And how was he risen? Because God hath raised up this one whom you have crucified. Right? And hath made him both Lord and Christ. Okay, now, let's read on. Brother Bram says, in the spirit of the Lord's day, now we hear it. Now what? And what was he done? He was transferred from the isle now in the spirit over into the Lord's day. And as soon as he got over into the Lord's day, he heard a trumpet. And what is it? It's somebody approaching. A great one's approaching. Trumpet sounds, somebody's coming. He looked, and hallelujah, the trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. Now an announcement of the second party, or third party, but the only party. All right. Well, who's the only party? That's God. I'm both Alpha and Omega. Before I show you anything, I want you to let you know who I am. Amen. The greatest of all the revelations is the deity. Now, we're not talking then about the body. He says, the greatest of all revelations is the deity, the supreme deity of our Lord Jesus Christ. You can't get to first base until you believe that. Now, he's talking baseball now. Like Paul, he starts talking about, by their fruits you'll know them, and then he talks about ravening wolves. He goes from one metaphor, which is fruits and vines and things like this, to another metaphor, which is animals. Sheep. Wolves in sheep's clothing and things like that. Brother Branham now switches over to baseball. He says you can't get to first base without it. Now, what's the point of getting to first base? Is the whole point of getting just to first base, or is the whole point in coming home? So if you can't get to first base, you can't go home. So we're talking of a salvation revelation. You see? And that's what Peter said. Repent and then see the deity. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and then you're ready to go in the Spirit. The first thing you have to know is the deity of Christ. I am Alpha and Omega. I'm from A to Z. There's no more but me. I was at the beginning. I'll be at the end. I am he that was, which is, and shall come, the Almighty. Think of it. That's what the trumpet said. Now be careful, John. You've entered into the Spirit. Something's going to be revealed to you. What is it? A trumpet sounds. And the first thing, I'm Alpha and Omega, the first of all revelations. O sinner, bow, repent now before the time's too late. I'm Alpha and Omega. That's the first thing that he let him know who he was. Who's this approaching? Is this King Jesus? King God? King Holy Ghost? He said, I'm all of it. I'm from A to Z. I'm the beginning and the ending. I'm the immortal one, the eternal one. Just a little later, we watch him in his sevenfold personages. Watch what he is then. See? I am the beginning and the end. I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. I was before there was a first, and after there was no more last, I'll still be there. In other words, the first and the last, and what thou seest, write in the book, and send to the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. Now, I think what it is, because Brother Bram said he's not talking about the second, or third, or anything like that. He's talking about the first, which is God Himself. So the fact is that what we're seeing here is the supreme deity, or the supreme deified one who inhabited the sun. In other words, we're talking about God. John heard the voice, and he turned to see the voice, and you know you don't see a voice, but also you don't hear voices from invisible things. So John was looking to see the one who was talking. So he sees eyes like fire, feet like brass, hair like wool. All these attributes of the deified one. Now he goes on to say, all right, the first of all revelations is the supreme deity of Jesus Christ. You must know who he is when you hear the voice. All right? The same voice that sounded on Mount Sinai, the same voice that sounded on Mount Transfiguration. What was the voice of Mount Transfiguration? What did it say? Yeah. Behold, behold, something like, behold my son, hear ye him. So, who was talking? The Father was talking. Well, this is my beloved son, hear ye him. So, it was God that was talking. You see? Brother Vance was the same one that talked in Mount Sinai. Who was that? God speaking to Moses. Okay. The same voice that sounded on Mount Sinai, the same voice that sounded on Mount Transfiguration, the same one. One like the Son of Man. Now, watch in this next verse, all right? And I turn the 12th chapter now, and we're going to leave these churches alone for just a minute. Because this whole week coming on these churches, see? So we're just going to pass over that, but he said, I'm going to direct you to send this message that I'll show you. Who is? I'm the first and the last. I'm the supreme one. I'm the almighty one. And I've come to tell you that I'm going to give you a message to seven churches. I want you to write it. Get it ready. See? And the seven churches that are in Asia, now they were churches there, then with a nature in them that represented these church ages to come. Now, why would Brother Branham tell us that the Alpha and Omega principle is the most important principle for us to know? The greatest of all revelations. We've already seen that this principle deals with the very essence of the Lord Jesus Christ and who He really is. And knowing that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and as we read in Malachi 3 and 6, I am the Lord and I change not. And as Brother Branham said, we won't know what to do with His voice if we do not recognize who He really is. Now, number one, in order to understand the day and the hour in which we live, how are we going to know that if we don't recognize who that voice is? Number two, in order to be able to recognize what is being done in the hour in which we live, number three, we must know Him. And He described Himself to John on the Isle of Patmos with the words, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Notice He never said He was the in-between. He never said He was the mediator.
He said he was the first and the last. Now, Brother Branham said from the masterpiece, he said, the Alpha has become Omega. The first become last, and the last is the first. The seed that went in has come through a process and become the seed again. The seed that fell in the Garden of Eden and died there, come back from that imperfect seed that died there, come back to the perfect seed, the second Adam. The first Eve that fell and was used in the second Reformation, the second coming, as bringing forth a child, now has become the bride again. The seed right back with the original word again. The Alpha and Omega is the same, he said. I am Alpha and Omega. He never said anything in between. I'm Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. That's it. The first ministry and the last ministry is the same. The first message and the second or the last message is the same thing. I was in Alpha. I'm in Omega. There'll be a day that won't be called day or night, but in the evening time it shall be light. See, Alpha and Omega. It's become the first and the last. Oh, my brethren, we could stay hours on that. Now, the thing I want to bring out here, I think is very important, is if we don't understand who it is that's talking, then we won't understand whose message it is. He said, I was in the Alpha, I'm in the Omega. Now, we have a little thing here from Joseph Branham that says, here I stand. And he's letting you know that basically no one has a right to the message without his permission. I want you to read it. He says that there is a copyright and a what's the word he uses? A franchise. And of course he's got some papers and things like that to look at. But the fact is, if this is in fact, if the message is in fact, belongs to William Branham, then in fact, he's right. If that was William Branham that descended with a shout, then that message belongs, the property belongs to his children. Now, Brother Branham said, if we don't know this revelation, he said, we won't know whose voice it is. He said, who is it? I'm the first and the last. I'm the supreme one. I'm the almighty one. And I've come to tell you that I'm going to give you a message to the seven churches. And I want you to write it. Get it ready, see. And the seven churches that are in Asia. Now, there were churches then with a nature in them that represents these church ages to come. Now, the question is, if William Branham said, I am only teaching what Paul taught, then did he have his own message? I'm asking the question. Who gave the message to Paul? Same one who revealed it to William Branham. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 32. Excuse me, 29 and verse 29. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong unto who? Us. And to our children forever. That we may do all the words of this law. Now, in fact, is the message that William Branham taught, is it the revealed word? I believe so. Then if it's the revealed word, it's been revealed, who does it belong to? Us. You see, the only way that you're going to recognize, and Brother Branham said, the only way you're going to get to first base is if you understand whose voice it is. Either it's the voice of a man or it's the voice of God. What's our pick? Now, I can understand if it's the voice of a man. If it's a singer and he wants to copyright his music, he has every right in the world to do it. If he's a public speaker and he wants to copyright his material, he has every right to do it. And if he's a preacher and he wants to copyright his material, as long as it's his material, he has every right to do it. Right? But what if it's somebody else's material? Does he have a right to copyright? I don't think so. How can I preach another man's message and copyright it? Then how can William Branham preach Paul's message and have a copyright? Now, I can see him protecting his tapes so that people don't splice them, and that's what's the intent, I believe, of what he did. He didn't want people meddling, splicing tapes, putting out tapes that, you know, would make him say something he didn't want to say. But when we come to the place of the words of God, no man has a right. No man has a right to say those words belong only unto him. Because we have a promise from God himself that the word that has been revealed belongs unto us and to our children. Now, if it only belongs to the children of the one who said it, then we've got to strike that from our Bible. I believe the reason why there's so much fussing going on, he's upset because somebody went and they made a trademark out of his father's name. Now, I'd be upset if someone took my father's name and made a trademark. I don't blame them for being upset. But you see, the whole thing is they don't get the picture. None of them get the picture. Brother Bram said, you're not looking at a man. A man, his words will fail. You're feeding on the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. And Brother Bram said, the reason why they're not even getting the first base is because they don't understand whose voice it was. John heard the voice and he turned to look. He turned to view. He turned to see just who it was that was talking. And that's the problem today. People in this message, they look and they see William Branham. And that's why the make-believers and the unbelievers and all those Baptists and all those Presbyterians and Lutherans and everybody else that wants to fight, and Pentecostals that want to fight Brother Branham, they didn't see God. They only saw the man. Just like those Greeks that came to see God and they saw a man, Jesus. They didn't see God. But then the noble Roman, when he talked to the man, he recognized the God in the man. And he said, just speak the word and my servant will be healed. So where do we sit tonight? Was this just a man, William Branham, a good preacher? He didn't claim to be a good preacher. But he was a man who surrendered himself to God, like Jesus, God's only beloved Son, surrendered himself to the same Father. God used him. His words were pretty halting. They were. But when he could say, you out there, you were praying for so-and-so, who was talking? It wasn't the man. It was the God of that man. And when he said time and time again, he said, the reason why God vindicates this message. He said, they say, well, Brother Branham, when you're praying for the sick and when you're speaking in the name of the Lord and it comes to pass, well, that's the gift. But when you talk the doctrine, you're way off. And he said, well, wait a minute. How do you think God would trust
a man that doesn't even understand the doctrine with these great things. He said, don't you understand? The same as Jesus said, look, if you don't believe me, believe the works. Believe the vindication. And if these people that are fussing over the distribution rights to the voice of God, and even go by the name the voice of God, then how can they claim that's the voice of God and have distribution rights? I can't for the life of me see it. So I would say this, let's pray for them. I think they need our prayers. Not to say that we're perfect by any means. We have many, many flaws. But there's something strikingly wrong with what's going on. It has troubled me now for 3 weeks since I read the article. There's something in there that I know from all the tapes I've listened to of Brother Branham, he would never have done what's being done. In fact, from the understanding that I have, he would have said, well, just let them have it. As Paul said, when people came and... No, in fact, it wasn't Paul, it was Jesus. They said, Jesus, these guys are preaching. What you're preaching, he said, just leave them alone. Remember that? They said, well, they're not part of us. He said, he that's not against me is with me. So we find that there were men out there quoting Jesus, preaching the same thing the apostles that were sent out to preach. The apostles got jealous. Alphas got to become Omega. There was a jealousy take place. They said, oh, they don't have the right to do it. Jesus said, oh yeah, they do. Let them do it. Just sit back and let them do it. Don't get involved. Don't fuss about it. Don't start something that's going to cause division and just, look, there's more division over this little thing now than there ever has ever been over the doctrine. And it's tearing up churches. It's tearing up fellowship between brethren. And it's because they don't recognize the voice of the one who came down. From the Queen of Sheba, Brother Ram said. Well, let me just back up. In referring to the masterpiece, where Brother Branham quotes, he says, he never said anything in between. He said, I'm Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. See, the first ministry and the last is the same. The first message and the last message is the same thing. I was in Alpha and I'm in Omega. So if the first message and the last message is the same thing, then whose message is it? How can anybody come along and say, now, I've got this and you don't got it? I'm going to copyright Paul's doctrine. I'm going to copyright this Bible. And because I copyrighted it and you didn't, it's mine. You can't do it. I think there's a big misunderstanding of what Brother Branham meant. And it's taking quotes and getting cows eating grass up in the tree. Now notice how Brother Branham points out that he was the first and the last, but not the in-between. He said the Alpha has become Omega. Then he said the first message and the last message must be the same. This is because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if the message is the revelation of Jesus Christ, then it is the revelation of who He is. And if He has changed, the first and the last message would have to be different. Also, this lets us know that since the first and the last message are the same, and that message was a revealing of who is in our midst, then we must surely know that the last message must also be a declaration of the one who is here. And if he is here, then he must perform the same way and do the same things that he did back then. Again, in the next quote, we will hear Brother Branham reaffirm the same thought that the ministry must repeat in this hour.
from Queen of Sheba, he said, now, what kind of a light would it give? If that was the first sunlight that shined on the eastern people, which is the S-O-N of God, and he did the things that he did there on that day of Alpha, he does the same thing at Omega. Now here we see Brother Brown tell us that what God did in the first age, he must repeat in the last. Now why would God do the same thing at the first and the last? Because if he is the unchanging God, and he cannot change, then if God cannot change, what he did back then at the first, he must do again at the last. From another Ephesians, Brother Branham said, from God who is rich in mercy, he said, now if many of you like to just mark down scriptures, what a minister reads, and I would like for you to tonight, if you would, to turn to Ephesians. And I was speaking last Sunday on the Ephesians, how that the book of Joshua was the Ephesians of the Old Testament, and how it was a book of redemption, and redemption has two different parts to come out and entering into. First, you come out; you have to come out. Now, some people want us to bring the world in with them, but you got to come out of the world to enter into Christ. You have to come out of unbelief to enter into faith. There cannot be one thing in your way. To really have genuine faith, you must absolutely leave everything that's contrary to the Word of God behind to enter into faith. And that was the book of the Ephesians of the Old Testament, Joshua, where Moses represented the law, could not save no one. But grace could. And here come to another Ephesians, another Ephesus now. And here Joshua is the same word like Jesus, Jehovah Savior. And now then, we find out that we have come to another Ephesians, another Ephesus now, where that in our intellectual denomination and so forth, and all of our educational programs has come to this, or to its Jordan. Then we must have an Ephesians again. We must have an Exodus to come out and to go into for the rapture. And from the paradox, he said, but we're promised according to the Revelation 10 and according to Malachi 4 and St. Luke 22 and 17 and so forth, that there's got to come an Ephesians to this. There is promised it, friends. There must come an Ephesians that the sevenfold mysteries of the Word of God must be unfolded, and it's in the Laodicean age that it takes place. I believe that we're there. I believe we're right in the shadows of the coming of the Son of God, and Joshua, just before the Ephesians raised up, so did John the Baptist raise up just before the next Ephesians. And we're promised another Ephesians, and it's predicted here in the Scripture. Therefore, I think that we're living in the Ephesians again. Back again to, and we are promised that what was left off during those seven ages, and in the message we would see Jesus, he said, that's been my theme throughout the years. I read that same scripture, which was here before, and I hope to read it until death shall take me from the earth, because I do solemnly believe that with all my heart that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's called in the Bible the Alpha and Omega, he that was, which is, and shall come. That makes him the same yesterday, today, and forever. He that was, he that is, and shall come. Just the same, he never changes. We change, time changes, but God never changes. Well, I'm just going to leave it at this point, but what I just want to lay out is this. Brother Branham said, when John heard the voice, he turned to see who it was. He wanted to recognize that voice, put that voice with a body. Now, when that voice came in this hour, it was associated with a body. William Branham. But now, was the voice his voice, or was his voice his voice? You see, Mita, when she was 16 years old, was standing there, 1933, I believe it was, when the pillar of fire came down. The angel of the Lord spoke out of that fire and said, as John the Baptist forerun your first coming, so shall your message forerun my second coming. Amita, she told Brother Vail just less than a week before she died, when he was talking to her about the parousia of Christ, and she said, that's exactly what I believe Brother Ram taught. She told Brother Vail about her experience there, being there when the pillar of fire came down.
and everybody's screaming and everything else. And she said, I heard a voice say, as John the Baptist forerun the first coming, so shall your message forerun the second coming. And she said, I asked Bill, speaking of Brother Branham, years later when they were married, she said, Bill, that was your voice, wasn't it? And she said, he just smiled and walked away. Whose voice, who else's voice could it have been? Now, some people would probably take that and say, oh, Brother Brown was a ventriloquist. No. The fact is that God's own voice, spoke through the man. Who is the voice of God to you? Is it not the Word of God? And who is the Word? God Himself. But God uses vessels. And that's why when we showed you what Paul said, of the two made he one man, and what we showed you last week, I believe it was, that every single prophet was single-focused. Like Paul said, if the eye be single, it's full of light. He was single-focused. He wasn't focused on the pillar of fire. He wasn't focused on the rock. He wasn't focused on the... Look, if he was focused on the rock, Moses wouldn't have beat it. He smacked that rock good. If Moses had thought that rock was God, he surely wouldn't have beat it. To him, it was a rock. It was a rock. And he beat that rock with his stick. Well, God got angry with him because the fact is God was using the rock. But now Balaam's donkey spoke to Balaam. That means we should go around revering donkeys, like the Hindus revere cows. Now, come on. Didn't the Bible tell us that God would raise up stones to cry out? He said the blood of Abel would cry out. So we don't revere the vessels. And that's the problem. People are single. Their focus is just wrong. They're focused on the wrong thing. They're focused on the pillar of fire. They're focused on the cloud. They're focused on the rock. They're focused on the sun. Instead of the one who is Lord of the sun. Instead of the one who was the God of the sun. The Father of the sun. You see, Jesus said, don't look at me. But he said, but when you see me, you see the Father. Because it's not my words. It's his words. It's not my doctrine. It's his doctrine. It's not even my actions. It's his actions. He shows me what to do. In fact, it's not even my will. It's his will that sent me. He's the one that sent me. I didn't send him. He sent me. And if we can look at the Son and see the Father, we do well. If we can look at the servant and see the God of the servant, we do well. When I look at this picture, I don't see William Branham. I see the pillar of fire above William Branham, telling me that William Branham was the servant. William Branham was the bond slave of the one who's above. And when you see that glow upon his face, you can see it's radiating from above. It's not, the pillar of fire is not a reflection of the man. The man is reflecting the pillar of fire. So we have our focus right. Brother Brown said, if you can't understand who the voice is, you can't get to first base. And that is the problem in this message. That's why they're fussing. That's why they're fighting. That's why they're jockeying around for position. There is no, as Brother Bell always says, there is no big eyes, there is no little U's in this message. There's only one great one, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you that you have come, and you are the judge, and you're standing here, and the whole courtroom is full of people fussing, not respecting the one who's here, not respecting the great judge who's in our midst. Father, my heart goes out, and I pray for these brothers because their intentions is right. I believe they're trying to do what's right. But because they don't see who is this voice, they're fighting over a man. One lays claim to him by birth. He's his son in the flesh. Another lays claim to it because, for whatever reason, he does. Father, we're not interested in the man. The man, his words will fail. But we are interested in the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. We know your prophet said the Elijah of today is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, we believe that you yourself are that Lord Jesus Christ. You have come with a message. It's your message. You used a vessel. I have no doubts about it. But he laid claim that he only said the same things Paul said. Therefore, I can't see how they can copyright what Paul said without Paul's permission. And certainly Paul didn't copyright it, but he published it abroad. And so, Lord, we just pray these brothers would back off from their positions and that they might begin to work together to see what they can do to work together to reach the four corners of the earth. And this we pray humbly and sincerely in Jesus' name. Amen.